Let me read to you Romans chapter 8, verses 37 to 39. Paul says here, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Some of you know and love Romans chapter 8, don't you? This great chapter of Christian joy and confidence. And we say within our hearts, "Oh, that Paul's confidence and joy here may be mine. Oh, that I may be able to say amen to everything Paul says here." What a blessing when we can do that truthfully and all the time. Romans is a great letter about the gospel. Paul spent the first few chapters explaining the gospel of justification by faith in Jesus Christ alone. We are saved by faith in Christ alone, by Christ's merit, by Christ's death, not by anything we may achieve or do. And then Paul goes on to tell us something about a Christian life. Then he comes to the 8th chapter, and he is just exclaiming in glorious language the confidence, the joy that is ours in Christ. My dear friends, so often, because of our unbelief, our sins, our worldliness, our grieving of the Holy Spirit, we know so little of that joy and confidence in Romans 8. But it is there. It is there for us to have. Can you imagine in April with a royal wedding? That the princess-to-be should choose to go to church wearing t-shirt and shorts and barefoot. What would happen if that should be like that? I guess there would be a public outrage. What if that dear lady should say, "Well, but I don't want to waste money. I don't want to waste my future husband's money." What would be the reply? "You silly girl. Your husband got a lot of money. If he has not enough, he can always ask his grandmother for more." And that is what we are like, my dear friends. Christ people, princesses, princes, children of the living God, but so often we live like beggars. Now tonight we shall look at very briefly question 36 in the Shorter Catechism. We have considered together justification, adoption and sanctification, and then this question asks us, what are the benefits that go with or come from them? And it just mentioned 5. It's not all the benefits that are there, but just 5 shortlists. And I want to consider with you very briefly these 5 blessings coming from justification, adoption, and sanctification. And we shall refer again and again to Romans chapter 8. The first blessing is the assurance of God's love. the Bible tells us God is love. God is holy. God is mighty. God is sovereign. We see the awesome mighty power of God in the earthquake, and we tremble. We feel the wrath of God when we are under His judgment and punishment and discipline. And yet the Bible tells us God is love. The believer says God has manifested His love in the Lord Jesus Christ. The believer says God, the holy and righteous God, has loved me. Even me. It is not just that God loves sinners, but God loves a sinner like me. Christ, who loved me and gave Himself for me, says Paul in Galatians chapter 2. The assurance of God's love. And that is what Paul says here in Romans chapter 8, isn't it? He says, there's absolutely nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. You look at it, at the end of that chapter, Romans chapter 8. Paul says, he is convinced. Convinced of what? In verse 38, that neither death nor life. Death cannot separate me from the love of Christ. Living this life of temptation cannot separate me from the love of Christ. Neither angels nor demons nor the present thing nor the future. Nothing. Nothing at all shall be able to separate me from the love of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that is a great blessing of the gospel. A great blessing of the gospel. That you and I can say truly, deeply, God loves me. My dear friends, can you say that? If you can't say that, don't say you can. Maybe you believe in Christ, but you feel so little of His love. So what should we do? We should seek to have this sense of enjoyment of the love of God in Christ. That's why it is so beneficial to read biographies. Christian biographies. You read a biography of a Spurgeon, of a Hudson Taylor, of a Calvin. What for? To learn of the experience of the love of God in Christ. And you say to God, Lord God, Spurgeon had this sense of your love. Would you give me a portion of that spirit? Calvin could suffer so much. He was a walking hospital. He got over 40 illnesses in his body. Yet, he was so confident of your love. Lord, give me that assurance of your love. Now, my dear friends here, you who are men, you who are husbands, suppose your wife doesn't talk with you for a month or two. Yes, you got your meals cooked, the bathroom washed and cleaned, but your wife just doesn't talk to you. What are you men going to do? Aren't you going to say to your wife, dear darling, you are my wife still, aren't you? The answer is yes, but I don't feel your love. You don't express your love. Tell me why. Tell me why. What have I done wrong? I want that sense of your love. I want your kisses. Not a formal kisses, but real kisses from your heart. Assurance of God's love. The second blessing, peace of conscience. Peace of conscience. Now, there's a lot of people who do not know God have peace of conscience. They say, well, God is love. He forgives. That is His business. I have not a guilty conscience. They are just fools. But friends, the more we come to know God and His holiness and His justice and His righteousness, the more we are convicted of our sins. So how can we have a good conscience, the peace of conscience? Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 1. This is the answer. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If tonight we are in Christ Jesus, what does it mean? It means we believe and we know that Christ died for our sins. Oh Lord, my sins are so numerous. I am such a failure. Yet Christ died for every one of my sins. Are you saying that, my dear friends, from your heart? When you look at the cross, when you survey the cross, are you saying that Christ Jesus died for every one of my sins? And now I'm united to Christ. His righteousness is mine. I am now received into God's family. I am a child of the living God. Sorry to refer to the royal wedding again. It's so exciting. But the girl who is going to be married to the prince, she got the palaces. She got that magnificent ring. So big. It's not plastic. It's for real. In the prince, she got everything. So in our prince, Christ Jesus the Lord, we got everything. We know our sins are forgiven. We know we are justified. We know we've been adopted into God's family. Therefore, we can have peace of conscience. There are two things which pastors must do and Christian people helping others must do. The first thing is to convince sinners that they are indeed guilty and they need to be reconciled to God. The second thing is to convince the saints, Christ people, that they are indeed forgiven. We live in a twisted world. The trouble so often is the unforgiven feel not guilty. The unbelievers feel not guilty. Those who are not born again do not feel guilty. But those who are born again, those who believe in Christ, feel so guilty and they have little of the peace of conscience. So often, we call what is black, white, and white, black. You know, it is just like the little light switch we have in our home. When the electrician installed it, he put it upside down. So on is off, off is on. And it's very confusing at times. You have to learn that. What is off is really on. What is on is really off. So my dear friends, may we all come to faith in Christ. May we rest in the Savior, in Jesus' blood. And then may we know this peace of conscience is a blessed thing. The third blessing, joy in the Holy Spirit. Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. You hear that? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. We don't try our best to boost up our love and increase our joy and manufacture peace. We shouldn't do that, my dear friend. You try, and you will fail. It is where the Holy Spirit works in us that we have love, joy, and peace. Now you look at Paul's example in Acts chapter 16. You know, before Paul became a Christian, he was a rich man, a very educated man, but he was a miserable man. He was a jealous man, he was covetous, he was a persecutor, he was even a murderer. But faith in Jesus Christ changed everything in his life. Now the persecutor became persecuted himself. He and Silas and Timothy went to Europe and established the first church there in Europe, the church in Philippi. But then, one day, because Paul cast out a demon, he and Silas got beaten up, and it was a severe beating. And they were locked up in maximum security jail, stocked, put over their feet. They were in such great pains that they couldn't go to sleep. So what did they do? What did they do? Did they complain to God and say to God, "Oh Lord, that is so unfair. We serve you. You led us to cross to Europe. It is the leading of Christ, it's the leading of the Holy Spirit. But once we got here, there were so few people converted. And now we did what is right in the name of Christ, and we suffer so much. What is your will, Lord God?" Did they say anything like that? No, what did they do? They couldn't go to sleep, and they were singing praises to God. Isn't that amazing? What joy they have in Christ. And my dear friends, won't you like to hear what they sing about? What hymn? What psalm? Would it be something like verse 35 in Romans 8? "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?" I remember learning this from a friend back in church many years ago. Out of tune, terrible. But it is here. "Who shall separate us from the love of God in Christ?" Persecution, sword, being beaten up. There is another benefit in becoming a Christian: joy in the Holy Spirit. Now we move on. Growing in grace. Growing in grace. The interesting thing about becoming a Christian is that you don't remain the same. If you're healthy, you grow. And the devil will come to attack you. When we stumble, we backslide. We become so miserable. But if we are faithful, we keep growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll give you two examples. Consider the example of Peter. Remember Simon Peter? When he first became a disciple of Christ, after following Jesus for 3 years, he was still a proud and self-confident and self-boasting man. For 3 years, he was quite like that. Proud, he was a believer, a true believer, born again. He was proud, he was confident of himself. He won't listen to Jesus a lot of times. But then what happened? He stumbled and fell. He denied Jesus 3 times in one night on the faithful night. And then he became humble. And Christ restored him to become the leading apostle in the church. But then, some of you know this, some of you may not know. Later on, in church, publicly, Simon Peter was rebuked by the Apostle Paul. Galatians chapter 2 is it? And how did Peter take it? He took it so graciously. He received it. Oh, he could say, I was publicly humiliated. He was publicly rebuked. But he took it graciously. Toward the end of Peter's life, he could say in 2 Peter chapter 3, in referring to Paul, our beloved brother Paul, who wrote you letters. And some of the things are hard to understand, even hard for Peter. So when you read Romans or Ephesians, you find something difficult, don't be too upset. Even Simon Peter got something difficult. But he said, don't twist scripture. Paul writes scriptures, respect the word of God. What humility. And that's why he can say in 1 Peter chapter 5, be submissive to one another, Christian people. Be clothed with humility. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Another example is of John. Now John is known as the apostle of love. If you read 1 John. But what was John like as a young man in following Jesus? He was an angry young man. Jesus called him and his brother James sons of thunder. He went to Jesus and asked Jesus, please allow us to call down fire from heaven to pour down your wrath on those who believe not. And Jesus said, what sort of spirit do you have? I'm not here to do that. But God's grace changed him. He became such a man of love. Now lastly, the final blessing mentioned in the Solemn Catechism. Persevering in grace to the end of our lives. Look at the passage there, Romans chapter 8, verses 31 to 35. Paul says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? In verse 33, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Verse 34, who is he who condemns? Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Notice here, Paul has someone in mind, an enemy, an attacker, who is so ready to attack believers. Who is this person? You know this person? Who stands ready to be against us, to condemn us, to separate us from the love of God in Christ. Who is this person? He's ready. He attacks us. He attacks all true believers. The devil. The Paul says, the devil will not be successful. For those of you who have read Pilgrim's Progress, you know there are many dangers in the way going to heaven. The devil will attack all Christians, but he cannot destroy a single true believer. They shall persevere to the end. Once saved, always saved. If we are truly converted, if we are indeed born again, we are saved for all eternity. We may fall, we may sin, we may trip over, we may get wounds and bruises, but we shall be kept to the very end. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? You know, some people like to argue against the perseverance of Christian people. They say Christians can lose their salvation. My dear friends, those people do not know how terrible it is as believers to sin and to fall and to trip over. But if we know anything like that, it is the comfort that God will keep us to the end that strengthens. It is not something merely academic. It is very personal. You tell Simon Peter, "Simon, you can lose your salvation." And he will say to you, "Rubbish. If that was so, I would have perished long ago." It's a wonderful thing to be a Christian, but dear friends, some of you are still holding back. You don't want to be out and out for Christ. You don't want to be in and in with the Lord Jesus. The devil is lying to you, is saying to you, money is better than contentment. Anger is better than patience. Love is better than purity. Being selfish is better than giving. Governing your own life is better than yielding all to Christ. They're all lies. Come to the Savior. And dear friends, when you and I are faithful Christians and faithful people, we shall know these five blessings and more. Shall we pray? O Lord our God, we pray that you may so bless us and help us and grace us that we may become faithful Christians and faithful Christians. Forgive us, O God, of our unfaithfulness in the past and our lack of faith. We pray that you may work in us to overcome every sin in us, to draw us to Christ. Oh, show us what a glorious thing, what a wonderful thing it is to belong to Christ. May we, even tonight here, be united to Christ by faith. In his name we pray. Amen.